I know it's enough of us in here. We can at least say good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Come on, let's stand our feet, get our stretch on. Y'all know how this works. Make sure I'm in All right, let us do our proclamation. Notice our proclamation is not just something that we run through, but we actually are saying something. We are actually proclaiming, saying, speaking something that is true. We are here to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the King who
pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
Like I'm so
Right, our responsive reading reader is not here today, so we gonna do this with me leading. Our responsive reading today is found in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11, the New Living Translation, and it reads as follows. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her twice over for all her sins. Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord.
Make a straight highway through the wasteland of our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken.
A voice said, shout. I asked, what should I shout? Shout that people are like the grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in a field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord, and so it is with people.
The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops, shout it louder, O Jerusalem, shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming.
Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. Together,
he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young.
Amen. Ask Deaconess Lisa, would you open us in prayer, please?
Lord God, thank you. There's so many things, Lord, that we have to thank you for, Lord. We don't even know all of the things that you have done for us, Lord. But we thank you today, Lord, for letting us inhabit your praise, Lord. We thank you for letting us come in today, Lord, to exalt you, Lord, to lift you up, Lord, to come together with this congregation, Lord, and lift you up, Lord, and love on you, Lord, so that we can inhabit you in the end when Jesus comes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know what, everything is going on in the world, you would think that nobody was in control, right? We know people aren't doing a very good job of being in control. But you know our God never takes his hand off of us. He never took his hand off of the wheel of the world. Nothing happens that he doesn't know about. He may not make some things happen, but he is the one we get to go to, trusting that he is good no matter what. Amen.
Take my heart as I surrender.
That are coming up starting November 27th is our four-week biblical giving class. The questions will be handed out today, but if you have not got the questions, they will be posted on email and will start at 6 o'clock on Tuesday at 4 p.m. Minister Richard Overall will be teaching for training day, and on Wednesday at 6 p.m. our usual Bible class will be held. Deacon Charles Tate will be teaching Judgment in Exile. The questions are at the end of the reading for discussion. And on Friday at 7 p.m., we'll have our Bring Back the Family with host Deaconess Kathy Carman. Remember to pray for Crystal Crump, Avitris Cohen, and Darius Freeman, who had surgery. Our mothers on the move at RFCM, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Pergil. All those names is upcoming, and all the bereaved families everywhere, especially our own Mary Tate and her and her family in the loss of her sister, Deaconess Lisa Thornton, and her family in the loss of her niece, and Amir, who lost his grandmother. And here are the birthdays for November. November 3rd was London's birthday. November 6th was Tamika Smith's birthday. On the 21st was Destiny's birthday. And upcoming, November 29th, is Reese Broder's birthday. To all of our Blog Talk Radio listeners, happy birthday to you. We pray that everyone had a blessed Thanksgiving. Please check our website for more information on what is happening at RMCN. God bless you.
Thank you. Great. All
right. We got something to do today. November birthdays. Anybody here?
London.
Okay, we got a couple of them. Yeah, Tamika in London. All right, let's stand on our feet. It's the end of the month. It's the last Sunday. We get to say happy birthday to them, remember? She said she could sit down on this. One, two, three. Oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Each day of the year, may you find Jesus near. Oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. May his love, peace, and blessing shower you. Oh, yeah, may his love, peace and blessing shower you. Happy birthday, November. Y'all know what time it is. It is offering time. So during the next election, our deacons will be passing the basket. But everybody pretty much here knows how this works. So we just gonna move forward. See, we talk about being held. Now we talk about leaning. That means you get to lay on Jesus. It's okay, he don't mind. His shoulders are strong. His arms are not too short. He can hold all of us. Yeah. What a place.
Yes.
What a sweet place to lean on Jesus.
Wow.
And the crazy part is, he's not some disconnected God who does not know what it's like to live in this world. He knows exactly what it's like to be poor. He knows what it's like to have people whisper about who your daddy is. He knows what it's like to be lied on, betrayed, condemned. He's been around sickness and death. I mean, we all know Joseph must have been dead by the time he even came to his power. Because why wouldn't he resurrect his daddy? Knows what it's like to lose friends and have many enemies. Who better to lean on? So as we go to prayer, our list doesn't get shorter, but some of the things get better in it. We have, of course, our deaconess, Mary Tate. We know this week she will be going through what many of us have gone through. So we know we need to pray for her and her family.
Okay.
And the loss of her sister, continuing to uphold Lisa and her family and the loss of her niece. And, of course, Amir and the loss of his grandmother. Our war situations, prayer. We got a few days respite and some hostages released, but the end of this situation will only come when Jesus puts an end to it. Continue to keep Melanie and her dad in prayer. I have three asterisks by Anthony Washington. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. Not only is he home, but he's completely free.
Yes.
All right, good.
We asked. And the thing is, you don't always have to be right to ask. So keep him in your prayers, that this is the thing that draws him to God completely. Of course, we keep in our focus this month on Naomi and Curtis Carter, Deacon Charles Mackey and his girls, Pastor Jonathan Tate and his men, his boys, his men, soon to be men's, Nico, of course. So if you're praying for Nico, you know you got to pray for Nedra. But she on the college student side, so we got Darius. We still holding you on that. We know what God can do, so we're not giving up. Sister Doris, of course, and always our mothers. We see Mother Marilyn holding it down today, and Mother Persia, Mother Cheryl, and Mother Irma are not with us, but we keeping them in a prayer. And Tierra injured. Okay, so Mother Cheryl specifically. And of course, our college students, we're going to hold them in prayer because December is finals month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so. It's all right, Nedra, we know you got it. Jamie, we know you got it. And then keep Alex in your prayer. She's probably exhausted today. Amen.
Oh, yeah, yesterday.
Yes, thank God, it's great. But again, this is not something we do where we just sit back and listen and we hope, without having our hope grounded in the one who is able.
Okay.
So I'm gonna blast him. Come on, Pastor Jonathan, I'm gonna need you to come up and do altar call today while you leading us to the altar.
As we go to the altar, think about the words of the songs that we've sang, being surrounded, our battles being fought for us, leaning on the everlasting arms, because there are going to be times when we have to, if we're being honest every single day. I'm reminded, I woke up yesterday, and I wanted some of my mom's mac and cheese. I did. But it was a reminder that can't call it, can't get none. So in that moment, tears came and snot. True story. But constantly, he reminds me that I got you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what pain you feel, no matter what irritations or stressors, no matter what your money looks like, no matter what your sinuses are doing, no matter what your kids are doing, right or wrong, I got you. So when we go to the altar, we just need to understand that he got us. And that just keeps it real simple. No matter what your situation is, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you feel, he has you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for another day. We didn't deserve it, but you gave it to us anyway. And truth be told, we don't deserve you. But you first loved us. There's nothing that's a surprise to you about us, because you know every single thing, every single fiber, every single thought, every single feeling concerning us. And that in itself is assurance that you got us, because you know everything about us. You know the needs that need to be met. You know the wants and the desires. All we have to do is just come to you and trust you and to do it your way. Lord, as I think about that list, Lord, there are people dealing with grief that need comfort. There are people that are dealing with sickness that need a healing. There's war going on that only you can provide peace in. There are needs that need to be met up and down that list that only you can see something and do something about. That's why we come to you, and not just on Sunday morning, but every single day we can have altar call with you, altar prayer, just casting our cares, our anxieties, our insecurities, everything before you. And then asking you, Lord, to move in our lives, to provide that healing, to provide that comfort, to provide financial blessings, to provide restoration, to provide peace and direction. And we thank you so much for that, Lord. We come to you knowing that you're going to do something about each and every one on that list. Even with my own situation, with my sons becoming men, Lord, you've guided me along the way to help them and to be an advisor soon and not a parent. And that's all right, Lord, because I trust you in that process, even though it is scary. Lord, there are going to be times where we wake up in the middle of the night and we feel that grief. We feel that loss. But you got us. Some of us are anxious about going back to work on Monday. But you got us. And you told us not to focus on tomorrow, but to deal with today, because it's more than enough. And you're more than enough. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I wonder if you all noticed there's been a theme that the Holy Spirit has orchestrated this week into our worship service. Okay. I mean, like he just prayed it. The first song we sang was what?
Oh, surrounded.
So it may look like I'm surrounded, but y'all come on, talk. This that church.
Okay.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but
I'm surrounded by you.
And then we sang, you hold my what?
Where?
Right. Then we sang,
leaning on,
leaning on the everlasting arms.
Yeah.
So let's finish with this. Troubles all around you.
one thing I know, God is on your side. Don't give up. Weeping lasts the night, but joy will come. His promises are true, and he'll come through. When it feels like it's over, remember there's a God who's always there, and he's holding you. No matter what comes against you, no matter the trial or fall, when trouble's all around you, this one thing I know, God is on your side. Joy will come. His promises are true, and he'll come through. When it feels like it's over, remember there's a God who's always there, and he's holding you.
who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and his mighty strength, not one of them is missing. He's
of the Lord. That's Psalms 118, 26. First, I want to take a moment to tell you how much I love this church. Where we come as we are, but we don't stay as we are. Where we fellowship with our eternal brothers and sisters. Where we teach and learn and do. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I am delighted to introduce our teaching pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall. He has prepared an all-you-can-eat buffet of nourishment for our inner men. May we all get a new understanding and a new revelation of our Most High God as we eat this spiritual food. Today's message is titled, The Greater Glory of the New Covenant. The text is 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 7 through 11. So turn or click in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And it reads as follows. The glory of the new covenant, the old way with laws etched in stone, led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So, if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? So, Pastor O is going to come and illuminate this text.
Okay.
So, repeat after me.
All right.
Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Make it plain for us.
Make it plain for us.
Amen. Dennis was talking. I ain't want to be rude and walk off. Amen. Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? Did everybody eat too much and then work out the next day?
Amen. Praise the Lord. We won't even answer that, right? Amen. Okay, I think I'm going to do this. Okay. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Yes, Father, we thank you for all of the food that you provided for us, all the family and friends, and all the heavy breathing because we ate too much. And we thank you for the night sweats because we went to bed full. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we was able to get up in the morning and do it all over again. But we thank you, Father, that you allow us. We get this privilege to come to church. We don't come here, Father, to get saved. We come here because we are. And we get to see our brothers and sisters in Christ and sing along together as we lift up praises to your name that you sure enough deserve. And then we get to hear a priest's word and go home.
All right.
So bless, Father, this word that you've given me for this people, your people, as they get it, hear it, understand it, and be able to live it out. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me, say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word.
And bless my heart.
And bless my heart.
So it receives your word today.
So it receives your word.
Because I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts. Not like yours, but I am here today to be transformed, to change the way I think according to your word, so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. You know, I always ask Jesus, why we just can't go home after that? That was at least a 3-minute sermon, amen. Most records is what, 3 minutes of amen? Yeah, but he gave me a little bit more to say to that. Today I want to talk to you guys about, really, you guys? Okay, that's new. Today I want to talk to you people, okay, you guys, better than you, yeah, see, you people didn't work at all. God was like, really? I go back to you guys. Amen. Amen. But I want to talk to you about the greater glory of the new covenant. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. I want to thank Pastor Janice Tate. I'm not going to act like I learned this stuff on my own. But she taught us about the dispensations, and she taught us about the covenants. Amen?
Okay,
y'all look like y'all don't even remember. Good. Then I'll be brand new. Amen. Praise the Lord. But she taught us about that because you need to know which dispensation of time you are living in, and you also need to know what covenant you are living under. Amen? And so today we're going to talk about that. Now, in the upcoming class, if you've read the book, you've read ahead. I know my wife has because she came to me and told me what was in chapter 3. And there's a whole discussion in biblical giving on the, I think it's 7 dispensations and 6 covenants. Okay? But those are coming up in that chapter. So if you want to get to know more about that, just go read that chapter 3 and you'll be more enlightened about the covenants that God operates under with us. That is important to know. Amen? Because everything that we do is based on which time we live in. And everything that God put in the Bible is not for us. A whole lot of things that came under the dispensation of the law, under the covenant of the law, okay, or the Mosaic covenant, that some would call it, amen, is not for us, not meant for us at all. And this sermon, I wondered when the Lord gave it to me, when I first saw it, Mary, I was like, really? What is this? They already saved. They're under the new covenant. But around us and among us today is a new group of black folks who call themselves Israelites.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they tell you that you need to go under the law. Apparently, they've never read the book of Galatians. Because Paul did some excellent work in the book of Galatians showing the difference between the old and new covenant. Amen?
Okay.
Romans is an awesome book, and I love reading Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. Because they tell us that God never gave us the law to save us. In fact, Rebecca, would you read Romans chapter 3, verse 19? I want you to listen to this. So y'all have to bear with her because she don't know these things until they happen. I didn't know it until it just happened. So there you go. Amen.
For its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God.
Amen. So, number one, obviously the law was given to other people, not us. Raise your hand if you were alive when Moses received the 613 laws from God. Raise your hand if you are an Israelite and you can prove your descendancy. Amen. And yet we have folks running around today saying that we are Israelites. We are under the law. We have to keep the law. When it is clear, how many of us have read through the Bible at least one time or the Old Testament? How good was Israel at the law? What was the law doing to them? It was destroying them because they was breaking it at every turn. And God was punished. One time he sent snakes among them. He sent fire among them. He opened up a hole and wiped out 250 of them. Yeah, 1,400 of them got wiped out. So, amen. God didn't give us the law to save us. He gave us the law to show us. And now the law comes from God and the law is good. Paul brings that thought up in Romans chapter 7. It's nothing wrong with the law. There's something wrong with me. Amen. God gave us a law, as the word says, to show us our sinfulness, to show us how wrong we are. Now, in the latter verses in that same chapter, chapter 3, he said, but God has made a way for us to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. And of course, we know who came and kept all the requirements of the law. Jesus did. Amen. And then in Romans chapter 4, God says, we're like Abraham. We have imputed righteousness. We're wearing somebody else's robe of righteousness. Somebody robed us in their righteousness. When we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were robed in the righteousness of Christ. Okay. We cannot please God by keeping the law. Amen.
Okay.
We cannot satisfy God by keeping the law. We can put on purple clothes and we can run around arguing with Protestant and Catholic churches, calling them out and saying, let's debate. But how many of you know the Bible says that we don't get into that? Peter said, don't get into them foolish arguments. Paul told Timothy, don't get into them foolish arguments. They don't go nowhere. The next thing you know is you're going to have a purple fight out there. And that's what's going on. The Israelites are going to people's churches. There used to be one that was on my Facebook page. His name was Stephen Israel. Yeah, Stephen Israel. And he was telling me that the law, you're always telling people that we're not under the law, we're under grace. We don't have to keep the law. I said, no, I'm not telling people that. What Rebecca just read is telling people that.
Amen.
The word of God is telling people that. And when you get into it with them, you will quickly find out that they don't know the word. They've just been told this by somebody. What I really believe is they're angry black folks. They're mad at slavery.
Wow.
And the folks who participated in it, who perpetrated it, and so they're mad at them. I had an opportunity to preach with two of them. And the pastor is in this neighborhood. Amen. And I'm sure if I mentioned his name, you'd know who he is. Him and his son was on program. We were called to preach at an outdoor revival. And so I went because I was invited. But Jesus gave me a sermon at John 3:16. But it all centered around God so loved the world. And so I couldn't get past that because, amen, he wouldn't go to the part that God so loved the world he gave. We finally got to that, but he kept me hanging in God so loved the world. So I'm like, Lord, why is this, you know, I'm not trying to say I'm a heavyweight, but I'm like, this is kind of elementary. Jesus, are you sure this is what you want me to preach? He said, well, you're going to talk to unsaved people, right? I said, oh, I guess so, but usually at revival, saved people show up. Amen. When they used to be for unsaved people. When John Wesley started it back in the 1700s, going into the 1800s, they called it the Great Awakening. He was preaching the gospel to unsaved people. They were having open air revivals like the one I was invited to. Amen. But nowadays, don't nobody show up at church, folks. Amen. That's different. Amen. But anyway, the son got up and preached. And he preached what he called hood gospel. I'm like, what?
Yes.
So he went all the way through the Bible, picking out places in the Old Testament where he could point out and say, now that sounds like hood gospel to me. I'm like, gospel in the Old Testament. So Jesus died and rose again in the Old Testament. But he kept on going, and then I picked up on what it was. These are these new guys, and everybody's black, and everything is black. And okay, and the food they made, the Israelites, he said, sound like soul food to me. I'm like, really? Seriously? Lord have mercy. Israelites eating soul food. Pork chops is soul food, ain't it? Hog maws and pig feet, that's soul food, ain't it? I don't think Israel ate hog maws and pig feet and, amen, chitlins. I don't think they had nothing to do with that unless they was hanging out with the Gadarenes. Amen. They the ones kept the pigs. Amen. The Gadarenes, really. Amen. So he got through preaching. And then I got up. And I immediately knew what the Lord wanted. Amen. I immediately understood why he gave me the word he gave me. He gave me that word. You know why he gave me that word and wanted me to dwell on before we got here? God so loved the world. Now, what color was Jeremiah when God knew him? God says, before your mother and father formed you in the womb, what? I knew you. What color was it? What was his nationality? God said while he was in the womb, I sanctified you. That means God set you apart for his service. Yes. Okay, what color was he when he got sanctified? He wasn't here yet. God said, I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Before your mother and father formed you in the womb. What color was he? What church he belonged to? What nation did he belong to? God knew him before he got here. God knew what he would do before he got here. God declared his job before he got here. So what does that have to do with race? What does that have to do with color? And we hung in that area. And we demonstrated clearly that our salvation, our election, our predestination was decided in heaven. God knew that when somebody came to us about Jesus, we would listen. We would accept him as our Lord and Savior. Yes. Before I was born, yes. Gerald Overall, before I became Macy and Bob's baby boy, amen, it was already decided in the courts of heaven that I would be a preacher. Amen. But if you looked at me up until age 20, you would have been like, that boy going to hell. That boy, look at him, he already on fire. He gonna go to hell like a jet plane. He going to hell. Amen. You know how they call it hell. When you, amen. But look what God did.
Come on, man.
And this was all decided before I was born. It was not decided because I'm a member of the black race. It was not decided because I was Robert and Macy's son. It was decided before I got here because God knew that I would accept when he came and called. Yes. And I wasn't on my way to go do no good stuff when he called me.
You did.
Amen. Well, for some people, it was good stuff.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. But it wasn't good what I was doing. Amen. I was getting that paper. I thought I was. Amen. So when the other preacher got up to preach the Father, the first thing he did was look straight at me. You know what he said, Aaron? He said, all right, she got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Anyway, you know what he said? He said, I heard what you said, Reverend Overall, but still what? You're going to deny God loved us before the world, or are you saying God didn't love us till we got here? Then God lied about Jeremiah because he loved him, amen, before his mother and father formed him in the womb. He sanctified him, and you couldn't deny that. You couldn't deny that God didn't wait for us to get here. God started loving us in Genesis 3:15. That's when he decided to send us a Savior. What color was you when God decided to send you a Savior? Psychedelic. He wasn't even born yet. Amen. He could have been any color.
Right, any color.
Amen. A Calliope. He could have been any color, right? Amen. But God decided to make him black. Why? Because God knew he would be a deacon one day. Amen. I mean, when we was growing up with him, though, we was like, I don't know. He going to hell. He thinks that brother asked you, he ain't going to make it. He kind of bad. Amen. Praise the Lord, Darius. Malachi, he wasn't going to make it. He was out for the count. Then one day he told me he belonged to Union Second Baptist Church in Romulus. I'm like, you go to church? They're like, you go to church? You preaching? You know, what you looking at, pot? Both of us black. Amen. Amen. So the preacher got up and he couldn't refute what I said because y'all know how I do, right? Back everything up with scripture. Stand right on the scripture, saying, I deal with that. Jesus said, when you go to build your house or make an argument on for him, right, against whatever argument Satan is setting up, I think Janice preached to us or taught us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that we tear down strongholds,
okay,
with the word of God,
okay,
using it correctly. I don't have to get mad because I can't defeat you with the word of God and slap you and run away. Amen. I can defeat you with the word of God. I can shut you down with the word of God.
Go ahead, say it, Doc.
Satan can stand against a whole lot of stuff.
Come on,
but he cannot stand up against the word of God.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
And so the preacher went on and preached. And he started that same stuff. Sound like black people to me. I'm like, so you're telling me the Shemites were black because that's where the Jews come from. That's where Israel come from, right? That tribe from that son of Noah, right?
Okay.
And so what color are the Hamites? The ones who populated Africa. And so are you telling me that all Africa? Oh, Lord have mercy. You don't even want to hear the explanation I got from Stephen Israel about how Ethiopia is really Mesopotamia. You know how he explained it to me, Keela? He say, you remember when the flood happened? I say, yeah. He said, the whole earth flooded, didn't it? I say, yeah. He say, the earth shifted. And Ethiopia moved over to where Mesopotamia, well, no, Mesopotamia moved over to where Ethiopia is. And so that means the original man was black. I'm like, dude, really? They told you that and you believe it. Because the Bible don't teach that. All you have to do is go to the Table of Nations in chapter 10 and you'll see where everybody rested at. You will see where everybody went. Amen? But what you will find out is that we're not Jews. We're Africans. And all of us are of African descent. All of us came from Africa. Amen? Eric said he come from Lincoln Park. Praise the Lord. Africa, Lincoln Park, that part of Africa. But they're holding on to the old covenant. But the problem with that is God did not give us the old covenant. He didn't give us the Old Testament, amen, to save us. He gave us the law to show us we need to be saved. When you read Romans chapter 3 and you see that God declares that all have sinned and come short of his glory, that includes all races. All of us have come short. But everybody comes together in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that the Old Testament was bad. Amen. It was good. Why? Because God gave it. Amen. So it has a kind of glory with it. And when Moses went up on that mountain to receive the law from God, and he came down from the law, how many of y'all remember? He was shining.
Yes.
He was glowing.
Yes.
And so they had to put a veil over him to veil God's glory that was on him. That ought to tell us something. We need to get close to God. Amen.
Okay.
So God's glory can get on us. Allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in you. So God's glory can work through you. Amen. The Lord says it himself. Come near to me and I'll come near to you. But God's glory going to get off on you. Like it did on Moses. So Moses had to wear a veil. Right?
Yes.
To cover it. Because it was probably scaring the people. But Moses, in Moses' mind, he wore the veil so the people wouldn't see the glory fading. Because he didn't keep shining.
Okay.
Amen. It would go away. That was God's way of saying that the law has a place and the law has a time to last. But it's going to go away. And it's going to be replaced with something that's even greater.
Okay.
So God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if the law that was received from God that really just brought death, it did not bring life. Amen. Israel was being destroyed under the law. It was so heavy on them, they couldn't carry it. Amen. But it had a glory. Why? Because it came from God. It was good. Why? Because it came from God. It wasn't God's fault that we couldn't keep it. We the one that chose to become sinners. We the ones that chose to have a sin nature and be predisposed to sin.
Okay.
That wasn't God's fault. But God wanted us to know clearly, I'm giving you a law to show you how much you need me. So when the Savior shows up, then we get a chance to see or have revealed to us the greater glory of what? The new covenant.
Okay.
We live under the dispensation of grace. That's what we live on. God's unmerited favor and God's power to live for him in this unchristian world. So grace is not just God's unmerited favor. It is also grace. Like one time I was talking to Minister Janine Folks, and we had been talking back and forth. And she was just going through so much and doing so much. And I asked her one day, Keila, I said, how do you do all of this? She said, God graced me for it. Amen. So I had to go and understand, measure what she was talking about. And that's when I found out grace is not just God's unmerited favor. But it's the power. You know, I think we heard again from Pastor Tay. She have taught us a lot. Amen. That God has what? Given us everything we need to do what?
Flourish,
live godly lives. Amen. Amen. So Jesus came and instituted the new covenant. When he got up from the grave, there was a new covenant that we made with God. The old covenant is passed away. Why? Because the old covenant was not intended to last. It was going to be replaced. Why? Because his glory couldn't remain. If God still had the law going today, half of us would be dead. Amen. Has anybody in here ever lied? Amen. They call that bearing false witness. Wow. We'd be dead. Because the soul that sinneth, it shall what? Die. Is there anybody in here that sinneth? Amen. So if we were under the law, guess what? Snakes be running around in our house trying to bite us. Amen. Fire be trying to chase us down, just like it did the Israelites. God's law is no joke. Amen.
Okay.
And God knew that we needed a what? A Savior.
Savior.
We needed a new deal.
Yes.
The old covenant wasn't working.
Right.
Amen. It was doing what God intended it to do, showing us that we're sinners. But when we, like the man in Acts chapter 2, say, brothers, when we are convicted by the Holy Spirit, we say, brothers, what must we do? I believe in Jesus. Amen. The risen Christ. And you and your whole family will be saved. So the new covenant that we have with God has an even greater glory. Why? Because it does save. It was intended to save. Amen. Now, salvation is not just being saved. That's just one part of it. That's just salvation. In Romans chapter 10, I know we like to use this to lead people to Christ. Amen. But in Romans chapter 10, it says, if we confess out our mouth what we believe in our heart, we shall be saved. But is that what he's talking about to saved people? No, what he's talking about is day by day, we'll grow closer to Christ. We'll let go of more and more. As we walk closer toward Jesus, more of our things will fall off that he don't like.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that's what it means when you see in the New Testament in books where it talks about, use that word saved. It's not talking about just salvation or people coming to Christ. It's talking about people after they came to Christ living like Christ.
Yes.
Okay.
Letting that mind be in you, which was also in who?
Christ,
Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus says stuff like this. I always do those things that please my Father. Not because the law is compelling me to. But because grace is allowing me to. I love Romans chapter 6. It talks about how we used to be slavery. And I wasn't getting it. And so Jesus used an analogy to crack me up. I don't know if y'all ever heard of a man named Richard Pryor. Amen. He used to tell a joke about this man, this plantation owner named Mr. Gilmore. Amen. And some aliens showed up. And Richard said, now, you need to get out of the way from around here, Mr. Alien, because this is Mr. Gilmore's property. The point was, he belonged to Mr. Gilmore. And the aliens couldn't do nothing with him. He couldn't comply with them. He couldn't go with them. Why? Because he belonged to Mr. Gilmore. Well, Jesus said, well, now you belong to me. So when the devil come around saying, hey, Pastor, oh, let's go do this, let's go do that, you have to tell him, look, Mr. Devil, I'm Mr. Gilmore's property. I'm Mr. Jesus' property. I can't go with you no more. I still feel like I used to feel. I still want to do, but I have to go ask Jesus now. Jesus, can I go over here and tell a pack of lies? No. Well, I can't go over here and tell. Why? Because now I'm no longer a slave of Mr. Gilmore, but I'm a slave of Jesus Christ.
Okay, go ahead, Doc.
And just like I used to do anything that sin told me to do, let's break out some windows. Okay. Let's snatch antennas off people's cars. Okay. Let's break in cars by Swader Brothers and steal the pennies and change out the ashtrays. Okay. Let's go roll around in the dirt, then go jump in the wading pool. Okay. Jesus said, you was on point when you were slave to sin. Sin told you to do crazy stuff. Climb that tree and fall out of it. Okay. But now you check me about everything I ask you to do. Amen. Just like you was a slave to sin, now you're a slave to righteousness. You used to be a slave to wronginess. Amen. Now you're a slave to righteousness.
Okay.
Don't use that word wronginess in school. Amen. They won't accept it. They hate us. Amen. But that's what the Lord says. And Paul deals with that conundrum in chapter 7. Amen. See, what the law doesn't even try to fix you. Amen. Next time somebody tell you need to be under the law, can the law stop me from lying or just tell me I'm a liar? The law is like this. Look, I'm not trying to help you. I'm not trying to fix you. Guess what? Slip up and I'm going to tell on you. Yeah, I don't care if you call me a snitch. That's what I do. You messed up. I told God. Oh, you think the law don't work like that? When Job was down there on earth, who went up there and accused him of having ulterior motives against God? Oh, he only served you because you done made him rich. He don't like you. You let me go down there and have my way with him. Okay? He'll curse you to your face. Amen.
Yes.
Paul deals with that conundrum in chapter 7. And he tells us that it's through Jesus Christ that we're going to be made right. Amen. Because in and of ourselves, we can't do it. That's why Philippians 1:6 tells us that Jesus is working on us. I can't fix Nico. Amen. Watch this. In the name of Jesus, be fixed. Are you fixed? Okay, well, there you go. That didn't work. In the name of Jesus, you be fixed. Yeah, see? And we can't do that. We can get mad at people because they ain't fixed, but only Jesus can fix them. So when I run into unfixed people, while I'm talking to them, I'm like, geez, you need to fix them. They tore up from the floor. Like the guy I was with last night. Oh, man. He told me that there was, I said, he asked the question, have there ever been any black popes?
Black popes?
I said, no. Not that I know of. He said, well, it was one when Jesus was here. I'm like, wait a minute, the Catholic Church didn't even exist when Jesus was here. Well, yeah, he, see what I mean? That, boy, race gets you going crazy. Yeah, black pope, he said it was two of them. Y'all know I wrote a book on Christian history, right?
Right.
I missed both of them. They wasn't recorded nowhere. Maybe it was, they just wiped them out, huh? I said, dude, can't you be satisfied with Athanasius, the North African bishop who gave us the 27 books of the New Testament? Can't you be satisfied with St. Augustine, a man whose view on Christian doctrine is the same view that all Western Christendom holds? He was from Nigeria, modern-day Hippo.
Okay.
Amen. Can't you just be satisfied with who was the Ethiopian who took the word of God back to Ethiopia? Can't you just be satisfied with that? No, everybody in the Bible black. Really. So all Japheth's people, the Europeans, you know, from France all the way over to Russia, all them black. I got to go talk to my sensei. It's easy to confuse them. All you have to do is speak the word. Speak the word. Devil can't defeat it.
Okay.
So the new glory that we have under the new covenant in the dispensation of grace is far better than the old covenant. Amen. Under the dispensation of law. We live in a time where folks look to. There were people in the Old Testament looking forward to the Savior. David looked forward to the Savior because he had been told by Nathan that God's not going to take the kingdom from you like he did Saul. But God is going to see to it that somebody from your family line stays on the throne until Jesus get here. So David looked forward to the new dispensation. David looked forward to the new covenant that God would make with his people. They loved to claim Moses. But Moses is the one that told them, God is going to send you somebody like me. From your own people. Follow him. Not me. I gave you the law. The law kills.
Okay.
The law destroys.
Yes.
The law informs
okay. That
you're a sinner in need of a Savior.
All right.
Now the new dispensation and the new covenant that Jesus made. When did Jesus make the new covenant? A new covenant I make with you. When did Jesus say that? The Last Supper? Where he instituted the new covenant?
Oh, okay.
Amen?
All right.
A new covenant I make with you. Amen. And the new covenant is what? Just believe that Jesus died and was raised on the third day and you will be saved. God didn't send Jesus into the world to do what the law did, to condemn it. Amen? But God sent Jesus into the world to save it. But those who are not saved. Now, to some people, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, to some people, we're like the Gentiles. Paul was out preaching, and he was declaring the word of God to them, the new covenant. And some of the Jews in the crowd said, no, you're crazy. That's not the way it is. You're a heretic. And Paul said to them, since you deem yourselves unworthy of God's salvation, we turn to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles was like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And when you go read Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, in chapter 11, you'll see what God is up to in these days and times. Israel, he hasn't forsaken them, he hasn't given up on them, but they're still stuck on crazy. They're still stuck on the law. They haven't accepted Jesus. They're still waiting on him to come. That's why Paul says, Don't say, who will go up to heaven and bring Christ down like he ain't never came. Paul says, don't say, who going to go down in the earth to bring Christ up like he never did raise up.
Right.
The word is near you. It's even in your mouth. Confess what you believe.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
We're in the new covenant, y'all. A new covenant, a greater covenant than the old covenant. New covenant saves, old covenant kills. Old covenant informs. Old covenant tells you you need to be saved. But you can only be saved through accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
All right.
The Lord says in John chapter 1 verse 12, to as many as have believed on him, to them he gave the power to become the sons and daughters of God. And this wasn't decided by human will, a mother and father getting together and deciding to produce a child. But this was decided by God himself.
All right.
That through faith in Jesus, you become a child of God. Amen. That is the new covenant that we are under, y'all. So don't let nobody walk up to you and try to trick you into believing you got to live some kind of way to please God. Now you belong to him. You ought to be like him. You know, when we was coming up, you know, if we was acting out of character, people in the neighborhood would say, you ain't nothing like your mama. You ain't nothing like your daddy. They don't act like that. They don't talk like that. They don't walk like that.
See it,
amen. So when you hang around, you know, when you hang around somebody, you pick up their habits.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
When you hang around Jesus, guess what? You're going to pick up his habits. You're going to be like him. You're going to long to be able to say what Jesus says. I always do those things that please my Father. The words that come out of my mouth, they're not mine, they're his. The works that I do with my hands, that's not me. That's my Father working through me.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what God wants from us. But he wants us to be at peace. And he doesn't want us to go back to trying to live to please him so we can be saved. But live a pleasing life in front of him because you are saved. We couldn't do that before without the Holy Spirit. When sin talked or said jump, we jumped. We didn't even say how high, we just jumped as high as we could. Amen? Now righteousness compels us. Our love for Jesus. Jesus said it like this, and I'm going to close with this. Jesus simply said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He says his commandments are not grievous. Amen? His commandments are not. What is Jesus' commandments? One of his commandments is, love you one another as I've loved you. That's one of his commandments. Amen? And when you read throughout, he also tells us, let us do good unto all. Especially to those of the household of faith. That's Galatians 16. Amen. And he also says in 6:1, when we see a brother or a sister overtaken in a fault, those of us who are currently walking right with Christ, help them up.
Okay.
Amen.
Yeah.
Think about, don't think about anything else when you see them in their sin. Think about, how can I help them? And then when you go to help them like Jesus helps you, gently. How long did the Lord have to work on you to get you to say, I believe? Amen. He took all that time with us, so we should be the same way with folks who are slow to believe.
Okay.
We should be that same way with them. Amen.
Yes.
Those who are slow to believe. But we are under the new covenant. And when you prepare yourself, because we're in the last days.
Yes.
Okay? A lot of things in the church are going to change. Everything, things that just not too long ago, I heard of a church who had a bishop to come and visit. And she brought her wife.
Oh.
Huh? Yes. A bishop came to visit a certain church in this community. And she brought her wife with her. That's where we're at now.
Wow.
Okay? God said, this is wrong. We're starting to say nothing wrong with that. We're starting to deny him. We're becoming almost apostate. Just so we can live the kind of lives we want to live. I was listening to Donnie McClurkin, and he almost had me crying. Because Donnie McClurkin don't usually go to them little afterglows, they call them, when after a Christian concert. These are all Christians. After a Christian concert, he went to what's called an afterglow. I think we used to just call it an after party.
Mommy.
He says he could not believe what he smelt when he walked in. He could not believe what he saw when he walked in. He couldn't believe what was going on in there. And he hated this. Well, it bothered him so much. He has the Donnie McClurkin show every Sunday at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. And you wouldn't believe what he was talking about Christians doing. And he wasn't trying to hide nobody's name. None of that. And it's some of the people that we listen to all the time. You're talking about living two different lives. I mean, over here, you holy, holy, super Jesus. But over here, you're no different than the world. My wife will tell you, I don't watch no Stellar Awards. I don't watch no Sunday Best. The devil got Christians down here competing against each other. I'm a better singer than you, Lisa, because I won. You did. So I'm a better singer than you. Really? Or how do you tell one Christian they're so awesome, we got to give you an award? These are the times that we're living in. People shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, pastors who and preachers and Bible teachers who tell you what you want to hear. And they don't speak to you about the real stuff of God. They only speak to you about how to make your life better. They don't have nothing to do with how you live for God. I think it was Pastor Tate who told us over there in Acts 1 and 8, right? You shall be my what? Right. Not my breakthrough. Not my dawn seekers. Amen. But you're going to be my witnesses. And you're going to do that in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of this earth. Church, stay in your Bible. And learn to decipher what you're seeing and hearing. Listen. Don't just accept every spirit. The Bible says, test the spirits to see if they're of God. And notice it didn't say test the man, test the woman. It said test the spirit to see if they are actually of God. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. We thank you that we live in a dispensation of grace.
Yes.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we live under the new covenant.
Yes.
Where we simply believe that Jesus died, was buried, and was raised again according to the scriptures on the third day.
All right.
And so, Father, we thank you. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we are not deceived by what the devil is doing in the world today. He is trying to take us back to a place that only destroyed us. He is trying to take us to a place, Father, where we get so big-headed that we think we can keep your whole law, all 613 of them. Jesus, we can't even remember the Ten Commandments, let alone 613 of them. Can't even hardly what we ate this morning. Can't even believe that. Can't remember that. But we're supposed to remember all these laws and observe them perfectly. We thank you, Jesus, for coming down here and dying for us and raising up on the third day. Then taking your robe of righteousness and wrapping it around us.
Yes, Lord.
We were put right, made right, set right, reconciled to our Father in heaven.
Okay.
The same one who knew us before we were born. Who decided what we would do in the body of Christ before we even got in the body of Christ. Before we even got in the bodies that we're in. So we thank you, Father, for thinking about us before we were us. We thank you, Father, for knowing about us before we knew about us. And caring for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And pray, Lord, that this message is not forgotten, but remembered. Don't let Satan... Don't allow this message to fall on hard ground where it won't produce anything. Don't allow this message, Lord, to fall on shallow, rooted soil. So it's rooted, but once trouble starts, it falls apart. And Lord, please don't let us fall among the thorns where the word, your word, just gets choked out. But let us be the good soil. Some of us going to produce 30. Some of us going to produce 60. Some of us going to produce 100-fold.
Yes.
Let that be our reality.
Yes, Lord.
And not the former. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Reverend.
Reverend. We can really mess up some names, right?
I'm Reverend. Rep instead of Reverend.
Rep.
People, she was
conscious. Thank you, Rep. There you go.
Is you standing to your feet? Remember to take, remember your announcements, remember each other. Remember those you didn't see today, who might have just, you know, took the day off. We pray that that's all they did was take the day off. We pray everybody's well, amen. I was hoping the kids were coming up, but apparently they're not coming, so. Where's Isaiah? Well, no, he went downstairs too. It's the only way the world's gonna know Jesus. If the people didn't know Jesus, tell them about Jesus. Live like Jesus lived. And let his glory be seen. Let's declare his name. Here we go. Thank you, my young people. Let us receive our benediction. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or imagine. According to him be power in the church, both now and forevermore. Let all God's people say.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.